The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
It's KKFN and KKFN HD1, Long Long Denver.
I can't believe you. That was unbelievable.
The cup is here.
Is awarded annually to the most valuable performer in the Stanley Cup playoffs. This year's winner scored 29 points in only 20 Stanley Cup games, the highest point total by a defenseman in nearly 30 years. Congratulations to the 2022 Conn Smythe Trophy winner, Colorado Avalanche defenseman Cale Makar.
It's just been building over time. I feel like for us, I've been here only 3 years and a couple tough exits in playoffs, and it was just all leading up to this. And oh man, it's, if you told me that this was going to be 3 years in, I would have said I don't know. But they've done such a great job of putting together a team, and it's just amazing. I don't know if I have any more words. It's amazing.
Down in southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, etc. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that have stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said. I mean, I've had supporters in my corner from day one, never wavered. And, you know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
That a boy does!
Thank you to our listeners at Castle Rock for making 104.3 The Fan part of your day. Stanley Cup champs, the Avalanche, the trophy, Stanley Cup trophy arrived with the team a couple hours ago back here in Denver. The videos of them taking the cup up the escalator at the JW Marriott in Tampa are classic, instant classics, as Bo Byram was button optional, you know, dress shirt, jacket, tucked in, open, the whole thing, and everybody else, Frankie going up the stairs to chance of Frankie, touching his heart and putting his arms out.
So awesome.
The picture that I got of Frankie, like, falling asleep, passing out in his suit with his head on the cup. Eric Johnson in bed with the cup. I mean, the pictures and the videos and what is going to come from it. Valerie Nichushkin barely wearing any clothes and a championship belt. And then you see what the real injuries were. You see Nichushkin had a brutally damaged foot that he could barely get into a skate boot. You see Burakovsky not only had a broken thumb that had surgery, which we did not know about, but had a broken foot that he had been playing on that he just couldn't quite overcome. And then everybody was a little dinged up here or there, but at the end of the day, who cares? Because you had a complete team effort. You had an unbelievable team assembled. They're one of their best, if not the best, defensive period they played all year was the third period last night. And then you found out there was a players-only meeting the night before where Cogliano kind of got him going. Bednar was completely supportive of it. And the vibe was between the second and third periods, boys, we got this.
Heck yeah. What a day. What a series. What a year. Man, that game showed so much about that team. You could feel the heart, the love that they had for one another. You know, Nate the Great got himself one. Leck got one. Darcy gave up a dumb goal early. But, you know, he gave up one goal in the final game of the season. And there was a lot of controversy, conversation about goaltender. He deserves a lot of credit. You know, the one of the moments you're talking about, you know, guys fighting through injury. And, you know, we leaving it all out there. How about it, kind of a silly, dumb moment, but really just felt really cool as a visual experience to see it. When Gabe lost his skate And
yeah,
and you know, Nate is literally carrying him off the ice, trying to get him over there. What an insane moment. Puck hits his blade and pops right off. He can't skate off. He can't get off the ice.
Right.
And he's got a teammate carrying him off the like off the battlefield almost.
Well, they were worried about getting too many men on the ice.
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. But just to see that, that felt like such a cool moment. You know, Cale Makar. Are you kidding me? 23 years old, has 29 points in the postseason and 20 postseason games. He wins the Conn Smythe Trophy. This makes him the first NHL player to ever win the Conn Smythe and the Honey Baker Award. Which is the NCAA's best men's hockey player. He also won the Norris Trophy, best NHL defenseman, and was the Calder Memorial Trophy winner as NHL's Rookie of the Year. This guy is racking up award after award after award. Forgive me for messing up a hockey award name. Don't know them all. D-Mac doing my best here. But unbelievable. 23 years old. We've got a guy like that. And you could debate who's the best player, who's the most valuable player on the Avalanche team with Nathan MacKinnon on the front side. But it goes to show you, you got to have superstars in order to have you can win one maybe, but if they want to turn this into a dynasty, you got to keep all these guys around. And Kadri, maybe not quite a superstar, man, he feels important to keep around to me because he's a heartbeat guy. He's certainly an energy guy, and he was an absolute superstar throughout the postseason. So I would be big time bummed out if they lost him.
Me too. And the question is, who's going to back up the Brinks truck? And he is 32. You know, I mean, is this his last shot to get a big contract? And you can't hate on a guy for taking the most money, because likely he will be offered more money by somebody else. I mean, you know, you just have other guys that you got to take care of. And, you know, our guy, James Merrillat, I love James, but James fights some strange battles sometimes. And I thought Nathan MacKinnon was terrific in this series. And I actually do think he right now is the most important and valuable player on the Avs. I do. But Cale Makar got awarded the Conn Smythe with the unanimous vote.
And I don't even think it was a real debate. I mean, maybe you could have made the case for Nathan MacKinnon, but how do you not give it to Cale Makar based off those stats?
Right, exactly. I would have voted for MacKinnon, though.
Would you?
Yeah, because first of all, he's a great, great player, and I don't think like last night counted, and it should have. But, I mean, they announced the award just seconds after the so I don't think they take into consideration what actually happens in the last game. It's over the two-month period. I just know that
interesting award, by the way. Not like MVP of the series. It takes into account an entire two-month span.
Theoretically, it could have been somebody on another team. I mean, you have...
Is that right? Could it really? I mean, I guess I've never really thought about that.
I don't know how often that's ever happened. Probably isn't. I don't know. Maybe it's happened. Who knows? But theoretically, it could be. That seems ridiculous, though. But this team, it's on Nathan MacKinnon's shoulders, okay? This team is on his shoulders. Gabe Landeskog is the biggest leader. Andrew Cogliano turned out to be a super important leader, sort of glue guy, really, really important.
There's always those guys that you don't necessarily see it with your own eyeballs because you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. You told us about the speech that apparently it was just kind of bone chilling for the guys. You certainly do see how good he is, how effective he is out there. But sometimes it's the stuff that you just can't see. You don't know what's happening that makes guys so important to a team.
Well, they played tight on Friday night. They did. They admitted it. A couple of stupid penalties early on. They played tight. Mika Rantanen said they did. And so a leader like Cogliano, listen, Nathan rises. He's the tide that rises the boats. No doubt about it. But Nathan is wound up tight, dude. I mean, I don't know if you want Nathan given the night before sort of speech, that sort of thing. I don't think that's really his particular role.
Yeah, I mean, the majority of the great leaders that I've been around, there's a certain element of fear around him. So, you know, his whole being, it doesn't bother me that he's wound tight. It doesn't bother me that the guys aren't super jovial around him. Hey, I was wound tight when I was around Peyton Manning. He scared the daylights out of me. Mm-hmm. The first time I got in the huddle with him, I was shaking my boots. I was in my eighth year. I was terrified. I don't want to let that guy down. But he did know how to turn that off when he went into the lunchroom. Maybe Nate doesn't do that. And maybe that's something that he needs to work on a little bit. But it doesn't bother me that guys are kind of walking on eggshells around him. That's what all the great leaders been like that I've been around.
No, it doesn't bother me either. It's just that guy might not be the right dude to, you've heard that about like superstars, like they have a hard time being coaches because they just say, well, play like I do. And it's
just frustrated. Like, I can't just do what I did. Why can't you do that?
And you can't, but you do have to be able to play. You can't get up there in front of the team and have all these bold words and not be able to produce. And Cogliano clearly could. Listen, this combination top to bottom was incredible. What Joe Sakic put together was amazing. And I think the fans get to revel in it and enjoy it now. So I am curious how that process went for you. Ronnie, you're on the fan. What'd you think, Ronnie? How'd that go for you?
Man, that was amazing. I can't believe that it's actually happened again.
All right, Ronnie, anything else? Is that it?
No, actually, I was...
No language of that. My guy. You know, Sean Podine had one of the more famous... celebrations. Do you remember what Podine did?
I do not. Remind me.
He didn't take his gear off for like 5 days.
Oh, okay.
He just wore his gear. He just wore his uniform. Everything. Pads. I mean, really? He took his skates off, but yeah, helmet, pads, gloves, just for like days.
That's pretty cool.
Just walked around in his gear.
I would definitely make fun of him if he was my teammate. 100% would make fun of him. But it's pretty cool. I mean, you saw what Eric Johnson did. Goes back out there after they've already celebrated in the locker room. Nobody's in the arena. Goes out there. Shoot, how long was he out on the ice, D-Mac? Do you know?
Oh, I don't. I have no idea.
Well, doing his little victory lap, just taking it all in. It makes you wonder, when guys do that, what's on their mind, what's on their mind for the future. But, you know, that type of stuff, soak it all in. I'm all about it.
Five players have won the Conn Smythe as members of teams that have lost in the Stanley Cup final. Our guy, Jake and Littleton, Roger Crozier, or Crozier, 66, Glenn Hall, 68, Reggie Leach, 76, Ron Hextall, 87, Jean-Sébastien Giguère, 2003. There you go. My guy, Jake. Winning those trivia contests at the bar. Nice job.
It's a cool award, actually, because it just goes to show what a grind that is. That is the most ridiculously tough road to win a championship of any sport I've ever seen in my life. And I know there's sports out there that you've got to play a 7-game series, but, man, not like hockey. Not that type of violence, not the type of pain that you're going through, and it just goes to show you know it is about the entire postseason, not just the finals. I actually really like that award. Really, really cool.
Jared Bednar had a message for his family.
Thank you. That's the biggest one. You know, there's so much hard work and time spent when you're coaching. It's like that becomes my family for the winter time. So they do all the heavy lifting and they make all the sacrifices so I'm able to do this. So just thank you.
Bednar later said, in regards and praising the Lightning, he goes, I don't know how they do it or they did it.
Yeah.
Because 3 years in a row in that spot. But the fact is, the Avalanche early on are the favorites to win again next year.
They were the favorites last year. And they started out on top. They played fantastic throughout the entire year. They turned the light switch off for the final week of the season. And at the time, we were kind of wondering, should we be worried about this or not? Well, clearly, they were just they were getting geared up for the playoffs, and they were just turning it down a notch. But they started out the season on top as the favorites, and then they finished on top. I respect that almost as much, probably if not more, than an underdog that pulls it off. Because, you know, the underdog, the pressure's not on them. We're listening to the guys in the intermission, the Lightning players, and they're talking about, you know, the pressure's not on us. It's on the Avalanche. Well, it's kind of been true the entire season. When you're the favorites, the pressure is on you the entire year, and that's a heavy weight to carry.
I think the pressure kind of flip-flops. I think the pressure was completely on the Avs in Game 5, and I think it swung hard onto Tampa last night. Really hard. And I think they felt it.
And I could see it after the first goal. You could see Tampa breaking a little bit after Nate put that in. You really felt it after the second one. But they all of a sudden they were just out of character. I mean, that team, they're dialed in, and they don't really get into all the nonsense, and they've got a coach that's very even-keeled. But you could see it. They were physically, they looked like Evander Kane when Evander Kane broke and he was just out there no longer playing hockey. That's what the Lightning looked like. And it really did start after the first goal.
On the text line, McKinnon is the tip of the spear. He's really what puts the fear into the other teams. Yeah, I think when you start a game plan against the Avalanche, you don't really start with Cale Makar. You start with Nathan McKinnon and who's surrounding him. And then you got Cale, and you have to deal with Cale in a different way because he's a defenseman, not a center, not a forward like McKinnon. So I don't know. I'm not even sure how you game plan against Cale Makar. I don't know what you can do to necessarily stop him. Make things physical, I suppose. Try to throw him off his game. But he usually is so fast and so talented, he just sort of goes right past you. It's no big deal. But listen, this team is going to become Cale Makar's team. It is. It's darn close to it right now. I still think right now, this year, it rode on Nate. We'll see where it goes. We'll see where it goes in the future.
Well, you need many great players, and you need at least a few absolute superstars. So Cale Makar, probably not good enough to carry a team only by himself. He's not Wayne Gretzky. Nathan McKinnon, probably not good enough on his own. But you get a couple guys like that on one team, and that's how you carry on a dynasty, and that's how this could be the beginning of something special. I'm not doing anything stupid like the Chiefs and all of a sudden predicting that they're going to win 5 world championships. I'm not saying that about the Avs, but they've got a great core nucleus that, for the most part, they're not going away. We're sitting here talking about Kadri, whether we're going to be able to keep him around or not. But, shoot, the majority of these guys, where are they going?
Well, Zach can talk about the core.
You know what? I'm so excited for them. They went through some tough times, all of them, and they all wanted to be part of the solution and stick together and find a way and keep growing and win a championship. They love being in Colorado, love being in Denver, and we're also excited for all the fans in Denver. I mean, how can you not? The way they've been all year at Ball Arena, it's just an electric place to play, and they believed in the team.
What was Joe Sakic's legacy if he never won a Stanley Cup Finals as a GM?
Oh, as a GM? A GM only?
Yeah, yeah.
Before last night, it was great architect who couldn't close because they came from one of the worst NHL seasons ever to a strong contender. Well, pretty good. Pretty good, but probably
I think it was Tim Connolly. Like very well respected, put together a team that had a great nucleus that everybody respected, and they stuck to their guns. You know, it would have been easy to fire Jared Bednar. Nobody moves on from coaches faster than hockey teams. They move on from coaches a month after they sign an extension. They didn't do that. They stuck to it. But I think before this, it was Tim Connolly. Now you go down as one of the guys that had a great vision. You stuck to it. You never wavered to it. And you got the reward. And hopefully we've got some more on the other side.
When things are counting down, were you getting nervous? Did you think, oh my God, it's just a matter of time here. They got to score a third goal. They got to get a 2-goal lead.
So, of course, playoff hockey is terrifying. The anxiety of watching that game is absolutely insane. However, D-Mac, for 3 out of the last 4 minutes of that game, the Avalanche had the puck on the other end of the ice. I mean, and they didn't just have the puck. It looked like they were on a power play. I really think they held that thing down there for about 3 minutes straight, and they were getting shot after shot after shot. I didn't think Tampa was going to score. I thought the Avalanche were going to get another one at the end of the game.
I thought they needed one more. I just had this feeling, oh my God. Well, stupid Tampa's
and unfortunately, we've been on the other side of the team scoring with an empty with pulling the goaltender and being like, okay, is all the small things, is it time to play it? You know, they've pulled it off. So, of course, there's that fear inside of you. Okay, they're going to pull the goaltender. Can we last, what was it, the final 60 seconds? How long was he off? I don't even recall.
Close to 2 minutes, I think.
2 minutes?
Maybe. I am curious, and you could help us out here, 303-713-1043. In Ball Arena, what was the time of the game and the score, and did they play all the small things? You know, they did not play it on Friday night. They didn't. They did not play it. I think they could have.
Really? Think
it was, yeah, a little bit. Well, it was tied. I mean, it was tied in the third period.
You're supposed to play it when the game's done.
They played it tied the other day, and they won the game because they had...
But that was because they had the video from Blink-182, and they wanted to get on national TV.
Yeah, well,
if you're supposed to play it when the game's over, they didn't have an opportunity two games ago.
They played it. It worked. I thought it was weird they didn't play it. I was waiting for them, and they never quite did, and then you're down, and now you can't do it. But I'm curious, last night at Ball Arena.
They played it.
I am curious about that because I could not believe, with about 10 minutes or so to go, they played Don't Stop Believing with Tampa. That is the loser's lament. That song should never, ever, ever be played for any reason ever.
Hey, it's a good kind of rally cry, though.
It makes you realize we're losing.
Well, I think that's obvious when you look at the scoreboard.
It screams, we're desperate.
Yes.
Say, Don't Stop Believing, or, Just a Small Town Girl echoes in the hallways, and you realize your team's about to lose.
Pretty stinking awesome to see Mark Hoppus, Tom DeLonge, and Blink-182. They're all tweeting about it. They're all sending out the videos. They're all saying thank you. Tom DeLonge's talking about how the whole crowd's singing his song. Pretty stinking amazing.
What would it take to get them at the parade? You know what I'm saying?
I was hoping they'd get them during the finals. I was hoping they'd have him walk out for the final 2 minutes at some point.
I mean, we don't even need Travis Barker. It's all right.
No, he's in the band now. They're all back.
Are they on tour or something?
No, but they're getting back together. Matt Skiba's going to stay in the band. They're doing four.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool. That's fine. Green Day's got like six guys in it. Red Hot Chili Peppers have like nine guitarists.
How many do you really need?
I don't know. Have them all come back. Having Blink 180. Oh,
that'd be unreal.
I don't know if we can speak it into existence. They got till Thursday. You got plenty of time.
I don't think they need to practice that song.
No, I think they can pull it off. Yeah, one song. Maybe play it two or three times.
Stan, you're a very rich man.
You are so rich.
You're a very, very rich man. How many professional teams do you have to own before you can pay for Blink 182 to come out?
Right. You got to make that happen, Stan, or you'll just be a complete loser as an owner. All right, Mount Beloved Speed comes up next.
From the banks of Cherry Creek to the Flatirons of Boulder to the South Stands of Mile High, he's the state of Colorado's native son. A man of mythical and physical proportion. University of Colorado Buffalo's team captain. Denver Broncos Super Bowl 50 champion. He is Mount Columbus. Who dare attempt scale the mighty Mount Columbus on this day?
Mount Columbus Speak is brought to you by Plumline Services. Turn to the experts you trust. And a bunch here. All right. Let's see. David in Sanford, Colorado. Sanford, Colorado. Where's Sanford, Colorado? Do you know?
That's got to be out east. Sure. Right. Yeah.
Mount Columbus, which of the Avs free agents are most important to re-sign?
Mount Columbus. Speed.
Well, I know the guy that I it would kill me to lose, and that's Nazem Kadri. He has been such a glue player for the Avalanche, and not only just overcoming personal adversity and feeling like he let down the team last year, but you know what? It wasn't just the postseason that he dominated. He played fantastic all year long. He got hurt towards the tail end of the regular season, came back, and Jared Bednar actually kind of called him out a little bit. He was like, you know what? Nas is not playing great hockey right now. He's got to get his skates back underneath him, and he's got to play a little bit better for us. Well, he sure found a way to play better once the playoffs began. And if you were to ask me, what is the single best like feel good story of the playoffs? It's got to be Nazem Kadri. It's got to be what he was able to do as a player, getting that hat trick. one of the singular most impressive individual performances I've ever seen in my life in any sport, name it. I mean, you've probably got five moments like that over the course of your entire lifetime that you can remember an individual stepping up, playing the way that he played, and especially with the stories that was going on off the ice. And it's just incredible. I don't know if the Avalanche will be able to keep him or not, but he's the guy that I want them to keep the most.
I can't wait to see Nathan MacKinnon next.
Hold up real quick. What do you think? What do you think? Oh, God. What, do you think he's gone or do you think they get him back?
I think he's gone. I think Valeri Nichushkin's the most important guy to get back. But I love Kadri. Don't get me wrong.
Tell me why.
Oh, I just think Nichushkin's got a higher upside. He's
tremendous.
He's a more versatile guy. But I love Kadri. So it feels like I'm dumping on him saying that. If I had to choose, I would choose Val over Kadri.
So here's my only thing with that, and I certainly see what you're saying in terms of the value that they bring and the role that they play. I just happen to think that Kadri's got something else going on that a lot of guys don't, in the way that he leads and the confidence that he's got. And maybe it's cockiness, maybe it's a little bit arrogant, I don't know, but he's certainly got a style of leadership that other guys gravitate towards. Nathan MacKinnon, you know, he's not the guy that other guys are going to love to be around. He's not going to be the hype guy. He's saying insane things that are going to be bulletin board material. Cale Makar, I don't know his personality very well, but it doesn't seem like Nazem Kadri to me. So I think Kadri brings another element that is really, really important to keep around because of leadership.
I can't wait to see Nathan MacKinnon next year with the pressure off now that he's won a cup and now he can play second fiddle to Cale Makar.
Oh, second fiddle. Is that what he is now?
I'd argue no, because it's just two very different positions that they play. And
I don't think an offensive superstar like Nathan MacKinnon could ever be second fiddle to a defensive player, no matter how good he is.
Well, he doesn't have to ever defer to him. They play different positions. They have different roles. They're on the ice together at the same time a ton. And frankly, Nathan's not going to change who he is, and neither is Cale. Cale's going to naturally mature and, you know, have a stronger voice with things. That's just going to happen with age and time. It was interesting. I was seeing an interview with Brian Burke, a legendary GM in the NHL, and it was on the Spit and Chicklets podcast, and they asked him who just popped off the page to you. And he goes, Gabe Landeskog. He said during the interview with Gabe Landeskog when he was like a teenager, They wanted to hire him in the front office. That's just the natural sort of way Gabe Landeskog is. It's different. First of all, Gabe's a really, really important player because he is the undisputed captain of the team, rightfully so. Nathan's a different type of leader, as is Cale. They're both kind of introverted, by the way. Even though they kind of got like a, you know.
And that's what I'm talking about with Nas.
Kind of a laid-back sense of humor.
Like, I mean, if you lose Nas, who's kind of the face of the franchise, talking to the media, bringing energy.
Landeskog.
Landy is definitely the captain.
But he's not he's a really good player.
Landy,
but he's
to
not
me,
McKinnon.
Feels more like a lead-by-example type of guy, which is great. Yeah. And that's probably the best type of leader you could ever get is a lead-by-example guy. But Kadri brings a different element just by how vocal he is.
Well, Kadri had a crazy, amazing journey this year because, you know, he had, and he wrote about it in the Players Tribune, he had to deal with the fact that he left himself unavailable because the refs are tougher on him, and he got suspended, and they lost, and he wasn't there.
D-Mac, when the playoffs began, he wrote an article about it. Interesting. Interesting that you choose to write an article about that in the Players Tribune right as the playoffs are beginning. Shows you where his mind was at. And when the playoffs ended, when you won the Stanley Cup, what was the final thing, his final message as he walked off the stage? The same thing. I was here. I'm available. I'm not a liability in the playoffs. Yeah, it was on his mind. Hell yeah, it was.
Yeah, and then kiss my ass and all sorts of mean, nasty, dirty things.
Great.
I mean, he was fired up, but it was awesome. It was all great.
You have a lot of fans down in Southern Ontario, London, of course, Toronto, etc. What do you want to say to all those fans out there that have stuck with you and wanted to see you have this moment?
I love you guys. I love you guys. That's all there is to be said. I mean, I've had supporters in my corner from day one, never wavered. And, you know, for everyone that thought I was a liability in the playoffs, you can kiss my ass.
That's what I'm talking about. Who else is like that, D-Mac?
On the team?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
What is Cale Makar's personality? I don't really know his personality.
He's got a quiet sense of humor, and he is widely regarded as got a bigger personality than he shows amongst his teammates. And he chirps. He's a chirper at other guys in a kind of a more quiet way.
Okay. So
Kadri's more like, you know, in your face sort of guy.
Well, maybe Kale's got a little bit more of that than what I thought he did. Here's who Nazem Kadri reminds me of. Aqib Talib. Aqib Talib was not the most important leader on our team by any means. He was definitely not the guy that we leaned on. He was not the guy that was given speeches. But he was kind of that trash talker that everybody followed what he was doing.
I get you.
And when he got into something, it kind of rallied up the rest of the troops. You know, that's what Nas brings.
On the text line, can you keep Val and Kadri? And I don't think so. I hope so. I just don't think so. And Burakovsky's probably gone. And I do wonder about Eric Johnson, too. It was interesting last night to find out.
I think he's done.
Eric Johnson said he almost retired before the beginning of this year. And he was really emotional after the game.
I can't believe it. I can't believe I'm standing here right now.
Well, believe it.
It's amazing. This is what I've always dreamed of. As a kid, me and my buddies, me and my dad, playing for the Stanley Cup in our garage, in our basement. 15-year journey later, and we did it. I'm just so proud of our guys, our staff, our fans. This truly takes everybody. I'm just, I can't believe it. It's so amazing.
Isn't it crazy? 15 years, 12 on the Avs, and he did it.
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Bo Byram, who turned 21, like,
a month ago.
Not even a month, like 2 weeks ago. And Newhook, Alex Newhook, who's, 21, Cale Makar, 23. You must have thought of that when you won the Super Bowl with the Broncos about guys who are just, you know, rookies.
Yeah. I mean, no animosity towards them, but there certainly was a feeling of like, you've got no clue how lucky you are. I think Eric Johnson's done though. You know, between him talking about, he thought he might have to retire because of injuries.
Right.
And then the moment that he had after the celebration,
so
and
emotional.
He goes back out on the ice and he skates around. He's the only guy out there. He's in all his pads, all his gear. That was a moment that felt to me like it was.
I didn't catch that. So say that again. So they go into the locker room.
Yeah.
Everybody comes off the ice and he came back out.
He came back out.
And they had that on TV?
No, it wasn't on TV, but I saw it on Twitter and all over the place. There's video of it.
No kidding.
He had a last little just solo skate out there. There's
no
nobody
kidding.
In the building, nobody in the stands, just him out there. It felt to me like that was waving goodbye to the tunnel.
I didn't catch. So here's what happened on the ice. They kept saying, well, Bednar speaking. Like they're trying to get people in for Bednar. And it's like, I don't really want to leave the ice, but I want to hear what Jared has to say. Okay, fine. And then the players left Tyler. And then there was a get off the ice guy. And he was like, we're clearing the ice. It's like, because as soon as the players left.
Yeah.
So that's interesting that Johnson came out after that.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
In for the celebration.
So he's probably done.
Feels like it.
Yeah. Well, hey, man. If that's the case, EJ, way to go, pal. I mean, you were awesome. You were awesome, and you had a legendary Avalanche career. Talk about the ups and downs. All right, game balls. Woof, you probably got a few there in your back pocket and more of your texts. And yeah, it does happen like this, by the way. You don't sit around like everybody almost thinks about what's next almost immediately. But really what's next is a parade. And there's nothing we can do to jinx it. The Stanley Cup champion are the Colorado Avalanche. This is The Drive.
The Cup is coming back to the Mile High City. Mission 16W accomplished. Celebrating Colorado's latest championship. Here's The Drive with Tyler Palumbas and D-Mac.
Coming down the mountain.
And Bending and eats Tampa Bay. Comes back to fire the McCross. Scores.
Outside of the escalator at the JW Marriott, Gabe Landeskog led the charge and a train of Avalanche players came in, hoisting the cup, ascending the escalator with the cup raised high as a metaphor for their rise to the top of the NHL. And after a full night of debauchery with the cup. They arrived here a few hours ago. The cup is in Colorado. The parade is on Thursday. So many people to thank on this journey. I got to start with Superbook Sports, who sponsored this whole thing. Oh,
no
my
question.
Gosh. Mike and Kristen were just amazing. Did a little thing with Rondé Barber.
Oh, yeah.
Turns out, do you know Rondé?
I do not know Rondé.
What a great dude. Great, great guy. Wrong end of this particular stick, but, you know, super nice dude. Had fun with him. Miranda, one of the little ice bugs, who is actually a Colorado fan, but she loves the Lightning. She works there. She fixes the ice. Super nice. And after being completely offended, she's got a little relationship with our own Jake Shapiro.
Okay. What's that mean?
They just talk.
Isn't Jake, I think he's engaged.
He is.
Oh, wow. Home record D-back over here. Holy cow.
Just saying. They got a relationship.
Wow.
Friends. They're friends. Can be friends.
You didn't say it like they just knew each other. There was an implication around the tone of way you said that.
I apologize. I believe they're just friends.
Oh, my gosh.
She gave me a game puck. I gave the game puck to my son, who's a lifelong Avalanche fan. You know, I've gone to a lot of these Avs games. I talk to my son about every single game after the game whenever I'm driving home or whatever. And it's really, I mean, not that we haven't bonded over a million other things, but hockey in particular has been super important to him and our family. And so earlier today, I was able to give a game puck, a real puck that they use in the game that she gave me, which was so generous to my son. And that just was over the moon cool. Bathroom Becky, did you hear that story?
You know, I saw you tweeting about her. I actually never watched the videos. I think I got the gist of it. She stands at the bathroom the entire game, buys a ticket, doesn't go in. What's the deal?
Yep, you got it. That's it.
Superstitious or something?
Yep. She was actually at the JW Marriott for the Avs. And I'm like, Becky, I go, the bathroom's over there if you're interested.
What's her deal? So why did she stay in the bathroom?
She just said, she's a season ticket holder, and it's just a thing for her.
So she spends thousands of dollars to just get inside the building and stand outside the bathroom.
Don't ask me to make it make sense. But
she deserves that loss.
She goes, I'm just here because I love hockey. And I just want to be around it. Even though her team lost, she wanted to be around the Avalanche where all their fans and the players are coming through.
Interesting.
It was pretty interesting. But then all the wives and girlfriends and moms and dads and friends and relatives and, oh, my goodness gracious. That was my biggest takeaway, by the way, being out on that ice earlier this morning, I think it was.
It's been one run-on day. Sure, that counts, D-Mac.
But, man, what it goes to build a championship. And everybody it takes, all the support staff for the Avalanche, too, all the people that work with the organization. And in particular, I know we have a curious relationship here at The Fan with the Avs and the Nuggets. And I can't tell you how welcoming as an organization they've been to me and to us, Tyler. And so a great deal of thanks to all those people. It was a wonderful couple of months on the road with the Avs. And to end it like this, even though I am officially exhausted, it was awesome.
Well, that's good, man. I was gonna give you a game ball actually because of all your hard work, but you actually just gave yourself a 4-minute long game ball. I haven't talked in an entire segment, so I actually can't give you a game ball anymore. Even though I was gonna give you that game ball. You did work your butt off, man, and it was tremendous access for all of us to be able to feel it. Left your videos out there on the ice. So well done, man. Seriously, very well done.
Thank you.
I guess I'll give game ball to somebody who actually earned something then outside of just showing up. Although you did. I give you credit for showing up.
Showing up's half the battle, my man.
Half the battle.
You just show up.
Just show up to clash. We'll get a seat.
You can show up on time.
Just show up. You'll get a seat, D-Mac. Kale McCarr, he's not getting C's, though. You know, Kale McCarr, 23 years old, is one of the fastest rising superstars in any sport that I've ever seen in my life. He had 29 points, 21 assists, 8 goals in 20 postseason games. Wow. He won the Conn Smythe Trophy as he deserved. I really didn't even think it was a debate. I don't think there's anybody else you could have given to. I know you said McKinnon. I don't think so. I think Cale Makar was the only guy you could have given it to. He is the first NHL player to win the Conn Smythe and the Hobey Baker Award, which was the NCAA Men's Best Hockey Player. Also won the Norris Trophy, Best NHL Defenseman, and was a Calder Memorial Trophy winner as NHL's Rookie of the Year. How many more trophies, how many more awards could this guy possibly win?
Crazy.
Look, I hope they're all rings. That's what I hope they are. I hope the rest of them all end up with Stanley Cup Finals champions. I hope that's what he's getting the rest of his career. Everybody on that team can get a game ball, and certainly Colorado Avalanche fans deserve a game ball. Man, it's been a long time. You know what? My team is no longer the most current champion here in Denver, and I'm happy to pass on that throne. I was a small part of it. These guys deserve all the attention. Cannot wait to go to that parade on Thursday. What a stinking year. As fans, enjoy the moment. Cannot wait to... Oh, okay. Cannot wait to hear what Orlando and Cecil have to say coming up next. Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.